Thank you to Debbie for sending duckies for Defenders Digest. So we have dedicated Defenders Digest duckies. Five of them.
That's awesome. All right. So Tuesday. So we didn't do a January one?
No.
Okay, because we did the larger ORL, right? Since our last validation was in 2023. Okay.
I think in a prior digest, we had mentioned that we were hiring. I guess we should probably make a comment now that we've hired our newer researchers and they've started.
Yep. Feel free to mention that. So checking say for January webinar Defenders Digest things that were not used. Okay. So what do you think about the content? Good with it?
Yeah, I think we're good with it. I think this definitely helps us stay in reaching the goal for the time. You know, the one thing that I keep thinking about is how can we start to translate these things into threats and where the rubber hits the road, right? Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking about this, and I know that like the botnet paper, the botnet stuff that's upcoming, that's going to be a good example. Yet I keep trying to think about how we can position this. And I think what Virginia has in there, like with Volt Typhoon, targeting infrastructure and staying hidden, right? They've been staying persistent in those locations for some time. So they're not necessarily into causing damage, right? They're not necessarily into practices such as ransomware, but they're really into it for a different purpose altogether, right? And we've certainly seen this type of behavior with industry throughout the years where they try and get in and they stay and they take intellectual property, or they try and affect regional harm. think Volt Typhoon helps in that overall larger discussion. So I've been thinking about how we can have that discussion around that, right? Like you have your nation state actors and they are using indicators, they're using technology, they're using vulnerabilities that may themselves not be considered vulnerabilities, right? And so they're getting through into internal systems unnoticed, right? And they're staying there undetected. So a large part of the mitigation or the detection is understanding a company's what the company's usual behaviors are, right? So your employees, right? What are their typical behaviors? What do they typically do? Are they usually running like command.exe, right? Even though command.exe might be a benign living off the land type of tool, how often is command.exe actually executed in your environment? Like, who is executing it? And so, right, that's where you try and have technologies and tools that are looking at behaviors and are looking at patterns, profiles, right? You're creating these profiles. And so what is it about us? Because we're using AI to some extent. Are we able to pitch it from that type of perspective where we're helping to move the dial into the, hey, we're monitoring. Not only are we looking for what everyone else is looking for, right? Generally speaking, we're with everyone else. We're following industry best practices, right? We're looking for vulnerabilities. We're looking for these things. Like everyone else, no matter what product, no matter what industry. But as we see with Volt Typhoon, right, they're not focusing on those things. They're focusing on living off the land, right? And so how do you tackle that? You tackle that by looking at patterns and profiles. You know, what can we do? Can we mention something that moves the dial on that profiling? Right? Or do we have some sort of that capability that we can tie in this nation state actor and say, you know what? Check the box. We're looking at everything that everyone else is looking at. But when it comes to actors such as nation state who don't want to be discovered, right? Well, you know what? We can help with that too. And here's how.
Yeah, I think we could put a link to the product, their capabilities with the ML engine. We create profiles of IP addresses and users and use that to link events that are anomalous.
Yeah.
That have a higher anomaly score that you can actually check when you look through the alerts and the incidents and everything, you can actually filter down through by anomaly as well. So you can say, okay, I want something that is critical and also rare for my environment. And that's something that could indicate some of these, the presence of one of these threat actors. So we can definitely hook their the product pitch.
Yeah, I think that's... that really can tie into part of the discussion around, okay, we do really good looking for those 0 days, right? We do really good with finding vulnerabilities and working with SAP to patch them. We do really good in our platform to be able to detect those things. But let's face it, the real challenge with these nation state actors is they simply don't want to be detected, right? Mm-hmm. And so that might mean they're potentially not using things that can be considered a threat, right, in the traditional sense.
So what we can do, Paul, I think that's a good point. You can talk about this topic, right? Volt Typhoon and the details of that. And then you can put a bridge to, hey, like, and speaking about these type of advanced threat actors, how can we help organization? How is Synapsys helping its customers or organizations be better prepared against this? And then I can jump on that with the ML and that stuff. Also, like, hey, like, it all starts, even though everyone is doing it, that more, it's more important to really do it properly, right? Like the basic hygiene is where you start with vulnerability management, configuration management, continuous monitoring, but then also like putting machine learning on top of it to be able to detect what's coming out of the normal behavior, right? So you look at what's important, what's critical, what's sensitive to your environment, but also intersect that with what's anomalous. And then that gives you a better priority, and that gives you the ability to detect these type of actors. So I can jump in with the product page there after your introduction to Bolt Typhoon.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Glad that this topic is so near and dear to me from that threat perspective. And I think that in this case, right, CISA has found presence by this nation state actor embedded in environments already, right? Mm-hmm. And they've worked on removing them, but there's thoughts that this is just the tip of the iceberg, you know, and we have to really evolve the way we're doing things. And part of that evolution is using these profiles, is using ML AI to help detect that anomalous behavior in those types of assets or there's another word I can't think of the word. I know the word too. I've used it for so long. This is part of the brain fog. In those files, let's just say, right, or processes or applications or tools that aren't normally considered malicious, right?
Yeah.
You know, how many IT organizations are going to say, no, you can't use calculator, right? Even though we know Notepad and calculator have been compromised before, but generally speaking, how many organizations are going to say, no, you can't use X, Y, and Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a library for that matter. This is why you have to go beyond the block lists or the allow lists or the feeds, right? You have to get into that next gen. You got to do the AI, you got to do the ML, you have to do the profiling, you have to understand user behavior, you have to understand behavior of these processes and these files and these applications. Are they being used, right? If you've got a calculator file that's not being used, let's just say on a server, right? Like, you should understand, are you going to use a calculator on a server? If you've never used the calculator in any of your server environments and all of a sudden it's being used, that should trigger an alert.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe giving an example too will help describe, right? Because that's something that you can't get from a threat feed. You know, that's something that's unique to each environment. And it can be unique really to each host. It could be unique to each person. And how do you build that, right? The most effective way is going the path of learning, of machine learning, where you start profiling that type of activity and that type of behavior. Okay, so thumbs up, you ready to go?
I am, yes.
Okay. Let's go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, welcome everybody. I'd like to, I already blow it up with my brain fog. Oh man. Ducks, help me out here. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to 2024. I want to welcome you back to our Defenders Digest in this brand new year. It's our first edition in 2024. And just a quick recap for those of you that are new to Defenders Digest, JP here and I will be giving you a recap of all things related to ERP security. Our goal is to keep this information timely and relevant for all of our defenders out there. All right, so since our last Defenders Digest was in 2023, we have a lot to catch up on. As always, let's kick this off. Patch Tuesday findings from 2024 so far. JP, how about you do the honors and take us through it?
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul, and welcome back. Happy to be here in February, starting with the first Defenders Digest for 2024. And we have a lot of content as usual, and we'll have a lot more content in the upcoming weeks and months as well. We are working on many initiatives, so you'll hear from us as we develop more and more of these chapters. As Paul was mentioning, I'm gonna give you an overview on the last 2 months, Patch Tuesdays. January, we had 12 new and updated security patches, including 3 hot news and 4 high priority nodes. So it's important to stay on top of security nodes. Research labs, or the Onapsis research labs, contributed in January, as well in February, with different SAP nodes affecting the ICM, the web dispatcher, different hot news and high priority nodes that our team is continuously reporting to SAP and working with the product security response team. In February, we had a little bit more. We had 16 new and updated SAP security nodes with 2 hot news and 6 high priority nodes. There was a critical code injection vulnerability, an RFC-enabled function module allowing generic method calls. That's similar to a prior vulnerability that was reported by Onapsis some time ago. So it's important to stay on top of the dispatches because some of these functionalities, especially the RFC-enabled function modules, sometimes require a small number of authorizations and allows users to perform very critical activities. So it's not just about enabling authorizations to transactions and reports. It's also important to stay on top of anything that is remote enabled as RFC function modules. So Paul, back to you.
All right, thanks for that review, JP. I always appreciate hearing that review. One area that we wanted to cover is Volt Typhoon. It is a name describing nation state Chinese state hackers. They're claiming that they're ready to go ahead and launch destructive attacks on multiple critical infrastructure sectors in the event of a military attack. We've got guidance coming in from the Five Eyes, which is the FBI, the NSA, CISA, and international partners like the UK's NCSC. They're saying that the Chinese threat group Volt Typhoon has positioned itself in sectors including communications, energy, transportation, water, and wastewater. This joint advisory issued by the Five Eyes provides a solid framework for security best practices like monitoring, patching, and network segmentation. It's critical, however, to broaden our scope beyond the highlighted areas, as attackers often target overlooked vulnerabilities. So let's dive into that for a second, right? What does that mean, overlooked vulnerabilities? Volt Typhoon and other advanced threat actors in the past they're not always into executing ransomware on a target environment. They're not always into wanting to become detected or perform something malicious to bring systems down. Part of their motivation is getting into a target environment and persisting for long periods of time without being detected. One of the best ways to go without being detected is essentially living off the land, which is something that Volt Typhoon has been doing. Living off the land means that you are using existing operating system files, functions, tools, applications that threat intel, threat research might not necessarily say these things are bad or are going to cause you any particular kind of threat to your environment. So this is a big challenge for security practitioners because we're always looking for those vulnerabilities. We're always looking for those things that can be used maliciously, right? In this case, you have to go a step further and you have to look at those processes, those tools, those tunnels, whatever they might be, in a way that really wasn't meant to be looked at, and that might not be set up for proper monitoring. So one question I have in my mind, and I'm going to pass this over to JP, is how exactly is it that we, Onapsis, are helping our customers to engage in this type of monitoring and detection?
That's a very good question, Paul. And it's the first thing you ask yourself when you start hearing about these advanced threat actors, how they compromise and they penetrate into different organizations. And of course, as everything in security, it starts by hygiene, basic hygiene. So you cannot be preparing yourself against an advanced threat actor if you haven't closed your low-hanging fruit, your critical vulnerabilities in your system. So you need to have a vulnerability management program, right? You need to prioritize vulnerabilities across your landscape, servers, networks, workstations, applications, business applications. So all of these are parts of your landscape. So a vulnerability affecting one component could potentially jeopardize the entire landscape. And then it becomes obvious that you need to monitor, right? You need to be able to have visibility into what's happening in the environment. What are users doing? What applications are being accessed? But then if we wanna be prepared against these advanced threats, well, we need to go beyond and we need to leverage advanced technologies like AI and machine learning. And that's something we have been working with customers to be able to really model how users behave and how different entities behave across business applications in a way that you can see what's critical, what's sensitive to an application, but also what's anomalous. And the intersection of that is something that you can prioritize in terms of reviewing what's happening in the system. So I would say there are a number of ways that you need to tackle this problem. Of course, from complexity, from low to high, but it all boils down to really start paying attention to that, prioritizing those programs, vulnerability management, continuous monitoring, incident response, and then leveraging advanced technology like machine learning, like AI, and be able to have that visibility into what's happening in the landscape. I know there are many different ways, but this is one of the mechanisms we use with our customers to start preparing themselves against these type of threats.
Yeah, thanks for going through that, JP. One trivial example that comes to mind readily is, say you have your servers, your hosts, where you're not expecting to use what would normally be a benign application, right? On your laptop, you might use calculator, for instance, or you might use Notepad or something like that, a sort of a utility application. But all of a sudden, you might have a DLL tied to that you might use on your client laptop, but that DLL might be just configured as part of the OS install on a host that's running your SAP or that's running some sort of other business critical application. And that DLL might never be touched or might never be used. So you're not going to really go ahead and detect it because it's not this well-known malware or it's not tied to a vulnerability per se. That's where I think what we're talking about, right? This maturity, this looking at it from a machine learning perspective and profiling users and profiling files and providing the context for those profiles too. So if you're accessing a particular DLL on your laptop, that might be fine. But if that DLL is being used on a server that's never been touched before, that would be a good indicator to say, hey, let's throw up an alarm and let's take a look at what this is all about. Because that's really living off the land. And that's that's just an academic example at this point for how a threat actor like Volt Typhoon might be operating, using artifacts that are considered benign on operating systems, server environments that would go undetected through threat feeds, threat research. But once you start profiling and it's used one time where it has never been used, that's a perfect example of you need to get your SOC to investigate and see why that alert was triggered. All right. So before we close, I know that in the past Defenders Digest, we've talked about how the Anapsys Research Labs was hiring new security researchers. Well, I want to share the good news is that we've finished that out. We've hired on all our new security researchers. They're all onboarded and we're working as a larger team now. Thanks very much. Applause to all our new researchers that have joined. With that said, thank you again for joining our first edition of Defenders Digest in 2024. JP, any additional words you want to share?
Just excited to be recording a new chapter with you, Paul, and really looking forward to all the upcoming ones during 2024. Lots of good stuff up and coming, and really excited about it.
Awesome. Me too. Thanks, JP. And thank you, viewers. If you ever have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.